ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 14, The Disappearance of Lord Krishna. Text number 4.
Jima
Prayam
Vyavaritam
Satyam
Mishram
Cha
Soridam
Pitri,
Matri,
Surin,
Bradri,
Dham,
Patinam,
Cha,
Kalganam,
Jima Prayam
Vyavaritam,
Shatya Mishram,
Cha, Soridam,
Pitri Matri Surit
Bhatri
Dampati Namja
Kalganam
Jima Prayam
Cheating
Vyavaritam
in all ordinary transactions.
Shadya
Duplicity.
Mishram,
adulterated in.
Cha,
and.
So Ridam,
regarding friendly well wishers.
Pitri,
father.
Matri,
regarding the mother.
Surit,
well wishers.
Bratri,
one's own brother.
Dampatina,
regarding husband and wife.
Cha,
also.
Kalganam,
mutual quarrel.
Translation:
all ordinary transactions and dealings become polluted with cheating,
even between friends.
And in the familial affairs, there is always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, and sons, between well-wishers and between brothers.
Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel.
Translation, please repeat.
All ordinary transactions
and dealings
became polluted with cheating.
Even between friends.
And in the familial affairs,
there was always misunderstanding
between fathers, mothers,
and sons,
between well-wishers,
and between brothers.
Even between husband and wife,
there was also always strain and quarrel.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada.
A conditioned living being is endowed with four principles of malpractice,
namely errors, insanity, inability, and cheating.
It's the first time I've seen it written like this. Usually, you commit mistakes, the senses are imperfect. I guess that's inability. Inability means senses are imperfect. How is it usually given? He commits mistakes, his senses are imperfect.
illusion, here it says insanity, and propensity to cheat. Here Prabhupada has written it, namely, errors, insanity, inability, and cheating. These are signs of imperfection. And out of the four, the propensity to cheat others is most prominent. And this cheating practice is there in the conditioned souls, because the conditioned souls are primarily in the material world, imbued with an unnatural desire to lord it over the material world. A living being in his pure state is not conditioned by the laws, because in his pure state he is conscious that a living being is eternally subservient to the Supreme Being, and that it is always good for him to remain subservient instead of falsely trying to lord it over the property of the Supreme Lord. In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied even if he actually becomes lord of all that he surveys, which he never becomes. And therefore he becomes the victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest and most intimate relations. In such an unsatisfactory state of affairs, there is no harmony, even between father and sons, or between husband and wife. But all these contending difficulties can be mitigated by one process, and that is the devotional service of the Lord. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. Nagyudhishthira, having observed the disparities, conjectured the disappearance of the Lord from the earth. Jima prayam yavaritam shatya misram chasauridam pitri matri surid bhatri dampatinam cha kalkanam. All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends. And in familial affairs, there was always misunderstanding between fathers, mothers, sons, between well-wishers, and between brothers. Even between husband and wife, there was always strain and quarrel. Om Agyanati Marandasya Yananangyana Shalakaya Chaksuru Militanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Didati Svaparandiyam Aradana Srinandam Daivritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dilisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadara Shivasari Gaura Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we continue with our description of all the evil omens that Maharaj Yudhisthira is observing. And we see these in present before our eyes in the present age. Therefore Maharaj Yudhisthira is conjecturing that Lord Krishna must have disappeared, because now it's end of Dwapar Yug, soon Kali Yuga will begin, so Lord Krishna must be have left off the planet. So Prabhupada explains, the conditioned living being has four defects. We're conditioned, just like we talk about having everybody has got in that house air conditioner. The natural position of the air in the summer season is hot. So by the air conditioner, it's called air conditioner, it makes it into cold air, conditions it to become cold. So the living being in his pure state, he's the eternal servant of Krishna. But by coming in contact with material nature, he becomes conditioned. Conditioned means that his natural state is to serve the senses of the Lord, but by coming in contact with material nature, he becomes conditioned to serve his senses. All day long, our mind is always looking, where is some sense gratification? Where is some sense gratification? We have just absorbed in sense gratification. When they're serving out the prasad, we think, oh, why he got so much sweet, more sweet rice than me? We're observing every Everything we just calculate. We're conditioned by the material nature to think in terms of sense gratification. Therefore, Prabhupada uses this word, interesting word, conditioned, just like air conditioning. The air is wahat, but we condition it to become cold. Or in the cold season, then we condition it to become hot. So this is the meaning conditioned soul. His natural condition is to serve the Lord. But now, our tendency, we watch our mind all day long and our senses are always, as soon as something pretty is there, we want to see that. As soon as some smell is there, what is that? As soon as we see something to eat, we can't wait to eat. They're saying, no, we have to wash the transfer plates first. And we're conditioned to sense gratification. So a conditioned soul, Prabhupada explains here, he's got four defects. Here he's described it in a very different way than we usually see. First of all, he commits mistakes. Just like we know the old adage, to err is human. But Murphy, he's got one addition to this law. To err is human, but if you really want to mess things up, you need a computer. So all of us make mistakes. And our senses are imperfect. Just like I was looking, and somehow or other, I was seeing translation instead of transaction. So sometimes our senses are imperfect. If something's too close, we can't see it. Just like the closest thing to our face is our nose. But then nobody can see his nose. It's too close. Even if we try to look, it's all blurry. If something is too far away, we can't see. Somebody came past our car and banged into the side and ran off. We were trying to see the license plate, but he was speeding, so it's too far away, we can't see. In so many ways, our senses are imperfect. If something's too bright, then we don't like to look. If it's too dark, then we can't see anything. So in so many ways, our senses are imperfect. And we're capable of being illusion. Just like all the magicians, everything they do is just sleight of hand. Somehow they always act in such a way and they distract your... They're moving this hand and you don't see what's going on with this hand. They do something funny and then suddenly a pigeon appears. Or just like I've got my very dear friend Pyari Mohan, president of Hartford, Connecticut Temple. And he's a professional musician. That's how he supports himself. He came to Brindakun. So he took a 10-rupee note and he folded it all up and did some hocus pocus and then boom, he unfolded it into a 1,000-rupee note. So there was one boy in the crowd, he thought he was going to be very clever. So he gave Tarima, here's my 10-rupee note, now you make it into a 1,000-rupee note. He said, it's going to make 1,000% profit. And of course the boy knows it's just some trick, but now he has to make it into a 1,000-rupee note, otherwise he'll be exposed. And then Pyari Mohan is going to lose, 990 rupees. The boy knows it's a trick, so he said, alright, now you've changed my 10 rupee into 1,000. So then Pyari Mohan took his 10 rupee note, he folded it all around, and it came out 1 rupee note. Then that boy was crying, he thought he was going to gain, he's losing. But it is all tricks. They say the hand is quicker than the eye. Somehow or other they do all these things and they create tricks. So we're capable of being illusioned. Here Prabhupada describes it as insanity. But anyway, it's interesting. And we have tendency to cheat. When I was living in Colombia, South America, where's our son Moni? She'll enjoy this. She's not here, huh? I was living in South America. We used to say the tendency to cheat is the Colombian who lives in the heart of every living being. As even Prabhupada, he said that Colombians by nature they are thieves. If you go to Colombia in 2 seconds you will lose everything. They're just 90% of the population is thieves, the other 10% are thieves. So we have this tendency to cheat. Whenever we can take advantage of someone, then we'll try to take advantage. So these four defects, it's very difficult for the conditioned soul to find out perfect knowledge. Well, there's that she was hiding behind Suchitra, huh? You know the Colombians, huh? They're famous. Is this Samoni or is this somebody else?
My name is
Also from Chile, alright. So you look similar to Samoni. So you know the Colombians are famous for being thieves. And we used to say the false ego is the Argentinian who lives in the heart of every living being. So anyway, with these four defects, it's very difficult for us to find out perfect knowledge. We will never. We can run the whole world through our senses, which is impossible to do, but we can try it. But we will never be able to find out perfect knowledge because of these four defects. But Shastra, that is revealed knowledge, that is we are except the descending process. Shastra is coming down from Krishna to Brahma, to Narada, to Vyas, all the way down to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, to Prabhupada, to us. This is descending process. So Shastra is above these four defects, therefore if we want to get perfect knowledge, then we have to go beyond this conditioned state. Shastra is beyond the conditioned state, then we can get perfect knowledge. But anyway, Prabhupada said among these four defects, the cheating process is very prominent. Because Prabhupada specifically points out that it's already appointed he has these other three defects and still he's presenting his philosophy as if it is perfect. Just like one time we went to the university to do some program. So Rivadiyanandan Swami was there, he gave nice program. So at the end of the program, some boy raised his hand. He said, well, it's just because we're conditioned to think that we're going to, because he was talking about birth, death, disease, and old age. So he said, it's just because we're conditioned to think that I'm going to grow old, I'm going to get disease, I'm going to die, that we die. If actually we think positively, it's just that society has conditions to think, yes, we have to grow old. So because we think we're going to grow old, therefore we grow old. We think we're going to get, because we think we can get disease, therefore we get disease. We think that we're going to die, so therefore we die. He was, Rivadiyananda said, that's nonsense. Yeah, anybody, a little intelligent can see this is totally bogus philosophy. Immediately, some other boy jumped up and said, no, why are you criticizing? He's right, it's just our conditioning, and he was just, he became very angry. He became so angry during the kirtan at the end, he left, he didn't get any prasad. But that boy who presented the philosophy, he stayed, so I sat down next to him to see what was his real thinking. He said, well, I just put that out because I wanted to see what the Swami would say, that's all. Other boy, he missed prasad, he left because he took him seriously, he was just cheating. He was just cheating. He just, I thought, we'll see what the Swami would say. Of course I don't believe that. The other boy took it so seriously, he left and missed prasad. Like that. So, Prabhupada said, especially now, he's describing how Yudhisthira Maharaj is seeing that between even intimate friends, cheating is going on. Just like in Brijbhasa we say, kata buru karil ko, or bada roti gam, sot buri chunki, or sahaja ke kam. Thorn is called kata because it cuts you. And so in Hindi we say kata. And the worst of the thorn trees, there's a tree called karil. He has no leaf whatsoever. Only green little twigs and very, very sharp thorns. So buru means worst. So the worst thorns are the karil. Kata buru karil ko, or badaroti gam. Gam means sunshine. This is Brijbhasak. It's actually in Hindi we say dup, but it's more close to Sanskrit and actually Brijbhasak in this particular instance. And badal means cloud. But Brijbhasis, they mix R's and L's around like the Japanese, so that becomes butter. So that cloud, that sunshine that comes between the clouds, in other words, rainy season sunshine, is very, very painful, let's say. They're talking about four things that give pain. Because in the summer season in Braj, it may be 50 degrees, it may be even up to 52 degrees, I've seen, 45 to 50. But you cannot tolerate the heat, but the sunshine, there's so much dust in the sky, sunshine you can tolerate. But when rainy season comes, then all the dust is washed out of the sky. When the sun comes out, when the clouds part, the sun that comes through is just like Lord Ramachandra shooting his arrows at the 14,000 rovers of the night. It just stings. Bing. Just like here in your Australia. Yesterday I sat in the sun, this morning I look and all my cheek is completely red. Because your sun is very powerful here. I learned the hard way. So Badaroti Gam, that sunshine that comes in the rainy season, that is very painful also. Sot Buri Chungi, just like, Sot means co-wife. Just like Dasarathi had co-wives. If you take a second wife in the presence of a living wife, that will also give you a lot of pain. Sot Buri Chungi. Or Sahajika Kam, doing business either in partnership or with relatives. Every book on business will tell you there's so many types of business. There's sole proprietorship, there's private limited, there's corporation, now there's something called LLC, limited liability company, and partnership. And every book on business will tell you don't ever get involved in a partnership somehow or other, or don't ever do business with relatives. It always ends in pain. Always ends in a big fight. I don't know if anybody's had experience in business, but everybody I told this to, they agree. Especially in this particular age, this cheating is so much there. Even between friends and relatives, so much cheating is going on. Brother, this cheating comes from the unnatural desire. We're talking about condition. We're conditioned to exploit the resources of material nature. So Prabhupada said, this unnatural desire, our real desire is if we see a flower, we want to offer it to Krishna. We see a flower immediately, we want to put it to our nose and enjoy our sense of smell. So Prabhupada said, this is unnatural desire to try to exploit the resources of material nature. And therefore everyone's falsely trying to lord it over the property. This actually belongs to the Supreme Lord. Even the so-called renunciation of the Mayavadis is false. Because you came here with nothing, you'll leave with nothing. Just like Alexander the Great, when he conquered practically all the known world, and when he was dying, he said, you make a box and you put holes on the side so my hands can stick out. He said, why is that? I want everyone to see that I conquered the whole world, but I'm leaving empty-handed. I conquered the whole known world at that time, but now I'm going, I'm leaving empty-handed. So we came here with nothing, we leave with nothing, and somehow we say, this is mine. So, if I say that I renounce something, you didn't have anything to renounce to begin with. Your renunciation is also false, cheating. Real renunciation means to see everything belongs to Krishna and use it for Krishna's service. They say, I give up everything. Just like we're using microphones, computers, so many things, so many so-called material things, but only for service of Krishna. And that is proper. Just like suppose some rich man hires me to mow all his lawns. He has big estate with so many lawns. He's got this nice machine that you ride around on and it cuts all the grass. And I say, no, I'm very renounced. I'm not going to use this machine. I will cut it with toenail clippers. He'll fire me. What are you fool? I'm giving you a nice machine. You're not using my machine. You're wasting my time. You'll get fired. Your renunciation is false. Because you're employed to do a service. So we're all eternal servants of Krishna. Whatever comes in our hand, it is meant to be used in Krishna's service. If we say it is mine, that is false. If I say I renounce everything, that is also false. Both positions are false. Real position is everything belongs to Krishna, therefore let me use it in Krishna's service. That is real renunciation. Yukta Vairagya. Just like this microphone. We could use this microphone to sing disco songs, but we're using it to speak about Srimad Bhagavatam. So why should I renounce this microphone when it can be used for the service of the Lord? This is imperfect renunciation. So this falsely trying to lord it over the property of the world. Lord, property of the Lord. Is that even if somebody becomes proprietor of all these surveys, which is impossible, because Alexander the Great showed, even though he conquered everything, he left everything behind. He didn't go with him. Still he's not satisfied. This was the point that Bhamandev struck Bali Maharaj in the heart. He told Bali Maharaj, so beautiful, young Brahmin boy. He said, my dear, whatever you want, I'll give you. He said, I just want 3 steps of... Oh, you foolish boy, why do you want 3 steps of land? I can give you palaces, I can give you a whole country if you want. I can give you beautiful princess to marry. Whatever you want, I'll give you. And Bhamandev said, if one is not satisfied with whatever easily gotten, he'll never be satisfied in life. I just need 3 steps of land. And Bali Maharaj's heart was pierced by those words. Because he had conquered, even the demigods were afraid of him. This is why Bhamandev appeared, because the demigods were complaining. And he realized that even though he had everything still, why was he doing this yajna? To get more. He was never satisfied. That pierced his heart. He said, yes, this boy is right. If one's not satisfied with whatever he's got already, he'll never be satisfied. I have gotten the whole world, still I'm making yajna to get more and more power and more influence. This struck his heart. Boom. They immediately decided to give 3 steps of land. He didn't realize what was going to go on. So the conditioned soul, he's never satisfied. And because he's never satisfied, therefore all his relations, see, even here it says family relations, even between fathers and sons, so much disturbances go on, fathers and daughters, mothers and daughters, between, even down to the husband and wife. The basic building block of society means husband and wife, family. That is the basic brick. We want to build something, we have bricks. So the building block of society is the family. And the lowest brick of the family is husband and wife. If even they cannot live peacefully together, then what can we say of the society? Therefore we see the whole society, because they're in this mad rush to exploit the resources of material nature to fulfill unfulfillable desires. Therefore there's so much tension between everyone. Because we heard in Bhagavad Gita, by contemplating the outer senses, one develops attachment, from attachment lust, from lust anger. Because we can never satisfy our lust. It's anger. And when anger, then we lose all intelligence. Because whenever angry, our anger is over, then we say, oh, sorry, for I didn't really mean to say that. It's been said. The wound has already been done. We say things, we can lose our mind, we say things we didn't really mean to say. So even between husband and wife, so much tension is going on, because it is based on sense gratification, not on the service of the Lord. Actual marriage in Krishna consciousness means two souls joining together to increase their service to the lotus feet of the Lord. But instead, everybody's just trying to exploit one another, and therefore we don't like being exploited. Therefore, between husband and wife, so much tension is there, because everything is based on sense gratification. Just like, you may know the word for marriage is vivaha. You know this word, vivaha? Vivaha yagya. We call it vivaha yagya. Now I only know a little smidgen about Sanskrit, But I've seen that there's two words in Sanskrit that are very similar. One is vivaha, marriage. Other is vivad. You know vivad? Dharma man does vivad.
Discussion.
Argument. Vivad means argument. So I don't know if there somehow there appears to be some relation. After vivaha comes vivad. So in society, the present society, even husband and wife can't live together peacefully. How we can expect a peaceful society? Therefore, we see the society is completely upside down. We were discussing yesterday, people just running out and shooting people for no reason. Everything is... What can we expect? If even the basic unit between family members, the husband and wife, there's no peace, then how we can expect peace in the society? There's no way. There's no way we can expect peace. And Prabhupada has given the peace form. Our only peace form is that Krishna is the supreme proprietor and we're his eternal servants. We see Krishna is the Lord of everything. He's the supreme proprietor. He's the well-wisher of every living being. What's the third one? I forgot. Yeah, he's the Lord of all the demigods. He's the Lord of everything. He's a proprietor and he's the supreme well-wisher. Because if you recognize these three things, then there can be peace. Otherwise, if everybody's thinking, because there's only so many objects of sense gratification in this world, it's limited. So we all become competitors, fighting one another to get, I want to get. And because now, as we discussed yesterday, the philosophy is you're just a bunch of chemicals that somehow accidentally happen. Therefore, you should just get as much enjoyment, because when your chemical reaction stops, everything will be finished. So we're all competitors with one another. Therefore, there's friction between everyone, because we're competing for the resources of material, because resources are limited. It's not like spiritual world. We hear in spiritual world, kalpa vriksha, whatever type of fruit, any variety of fruit, or anything you want, you can get from desire tree. Here, it's like our plum tree is here. So only so many limited plums come from that tree. And every Sunday the little children climb and grab as many as they can. And so there's only a few left for the deities. It's limited. And only plum is coming. We can't get mango from that tree. But in the spiritual world, kalpa vrikshas are there. Any variety of fruit, any amount of fruit you want, you take and take and take and still mango is there, lemon is there, orange is there, apple is there, banana is there, anything you want. So here, the resources are limited, and living beings, they appear to be unlimited. So many. Population is growing like anything. Now they say there's 7 billion of us on the planet. So limited resources, unlimited beings, so we're in competition, because everyone's trying to exploit for sense gratification all the resources of material nature. Then there's so much stress between everyone. But when we, Prabhupada talks about harmony here, when we try to harmonize, work together to please the Lord, just like so many people have written their books, or at least one book is there, Prabhupada is coming. But everyone in his book about Prabhupada has always talked about the incident where Prabhupada is coming to the temple. Everybody forgets his own sins. Everybody's completely day and night, or 4 or 5 days before Prabhupada comes, they're painting, they're washing, they're scrubbing, they're ironing the sheets and putting up new curtains, and everyone just forgets about eating, sleeping, everything. Everyone forgets about sanskrit, who's completely absorbed in Prabhupada's service, and everybody remembers how blissful that was. We always remember how blissful Prabhupada is. Actually, Prabhupada coming wasn't so blissful as getting ready for Prabhupada to come. That was the more blissful thing. We ever remember how we were all cooperating together. Nobody was fighting one another. We were just cooperating to try to please Prabhupada. So that is harmony. We have to cooperate, take all of our different talents and combine them together and work to please the senses of the Lord and the senses of the devotees. Then we become satisfied. Then everything becomes in harmony. As long as we're competitors for the resources of material nature, then there'll always be tension between us. But as soon as we cooperate together to serve the Lord, then there's harmony. So Prabhupada said, Prabhupada's so poetic, he says, the world of hypocrisy. He's got it right on the nose, huh? The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to the Lord and nothing else. So we have to become very serious about cultivating this mood of service and cultivating this mood of feeling yourself as servant. Everyone wants to become the topmost man amongst all his fellow men, but our business is to become the servant of everyone. Just like the one student Prabhupada was sitting on Big Vyasa-san. So you're talking about first class man, second class man, third class man, fourth class man. So you're sitting on this big chair, I suppose you're the first class man. Prabhupada said, no, I'm fifth class because I'm servant of the other four classes. He was immediately stopped, he couldn't say anything. So this is the Vaikuntha consciousness, that I'm servant of everyone. Therefore we call each other Prabhu, but we make it such a mockery. Oh, Prabhu, can you bring me that glass over there? Prabhu means master. So we should, the more we become absorbed in this serving mood instead of this exploding mood, then we'll find our consciousness becoming more and more just like Vaikuntha. So, any questions or comments? Oh, yeah, I can't remember. I just remember somebody who was there, he was told to take disciples. He said, no, I don't want to take any disciples. Finally, I can't remember, either his guru told him or he made a vow on his own, the first person I meet, first person I meet tomorrow, I will make him my disciple. So he went to take his bath and a dead body bumped up against him. So he grabbed him and chanted Hare Krishna mantra into his ear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Hare. And the boy came back to life. So that was Saranga Thakur. I didn't study up, I should go on the internet, there must be some description of Saranga Thakur. I just remember that's how Saranga Thakur came into being. We were all anxious to get followers. He was saying, no, I don't want. And finally, he's all right. First person I meet, I'll make him my disciple. So he met a dead body, so he made the dead body his disciple. Then the parents also came. They wanted the boy back. He said, no. He said, he gave me life. Parent means who gives life to the child. He gave me life, so he's my mother and father. I'm not going anywhere. I forgot about that. I haven't opened up my computer. As soon as I open my computer, it will squeal at me. Saranga Thakur disappearance. We have this Vaishnav reminder program, So as soon as you open the computer, sometimes elephant sound come. Kadasi. If I can find out something, maybe this evening we'll talk about Saranga Thakur. A very interesting history. Yes, Bhakta Jan.
What are some things that we can do to remember to be the servant of others?
What are some things we can do to?
That's very easy to do.
Just practice. We have to keep practicing, and gradually it will become second nature. Like now we're conditioned to feel ourselves the master, so now we have to become, we call it reconditioning. They take the old appliance, whatever it is, recondition, it makes it new again, makes it back to its original condition. So now we're conditioned soul. So reconditioning means we have to do some work. See, this is the problem. Is the internet age has made all of us lazy. Everybody always, you know, it's the same question we get in so many ways. How do I deal with lust? How do I control my senses? You have to do it. Everybody's expecting there's some link. I can just click on the link. Bing! Lust will go away. Bing! I'll control my senses. Bing! I'll become a servant. You simply have to do the work. There isn't any link that you can click on. We're always looking for that link. This computer age has made us all lazy bums. Huh? So how do I deal with the problem of lust? You know, we're thinking there's some click. I can click on something. Bing! Lust will go away. No. You have to do the work. You have to struggle. You have to try. You have to be determined. If you want to become servant, then you have to practice being servant. Practice, just like Krishna asked Arjuna, similar question. He said, this mind, I can't control it. It's easier to catch the wind. And what did Krishna say? Abhyas. You know the word abhyas? Abhyas means practice. You said abhyas, abhyas, by practice. Just like, to give you a little hope, the Brijavasis have one little verse that gives us some hope. They say, karakarak abhyase jarmati hota sajan rasari avata javate shilpar pari nishan. Karakarak abhyase, by practice, jarmati, just like you know jarbarat, mati means mind, intelligence, or manner of being. So jarmati means dull-witted. Just like jarbarat, he was dull-witted, jarmati. Jarmati hoto sajan. Sajan means gentle person. By practice. Just like in British literature, we have the play, My Fair Lady, right? She spoke even funnier English than you guys speak. The rhine and spine rhymes finely in the ply, Mike. But this fellow took her, by practice, she could say, the rain in Spain rains really in the plain. And they say, what is the proof? It's a rasari avata javate silpar pari nishan. If you go to some, we were talking about hand pump last night. But some places we go, there's no hand pump, there's well. And around the well, you see there's stones. And in those stones, there's grooves cut in all those stones. And nobody came with a chisel and a hammer and cut those. It's cut by the rope. He said, now you've got to be kidding me. Rope is soft and stone is hard. How will you cut the stone with a rope? But avata javat, avata, coming and going, shil, is like, you know, govardhan shil, that's shil, stone. Nishan means the mark is there. The rope is already soft. He's going down in the water. He's becoming more soft. Now you're telling me to cut a piece of stone with a rope. You're crazy. But avata javat, coming and going, shil parpari nishan. You can see the mark is there on the stone. The proof is there. So we may think, oh, my heart is just like stone and Lord's name is so soft. How will I ever become Krishna conscious? But coming and going, avata javat, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. You just go on practicing. Even this stone-like heart will be cut. So this little verse gives us some hope. That if even stone can be cut by a rope, then if we practice Krishna consciousness, keep on practicing Hare Krishna, gradually even our conditioned souls will become reconditioned. This verse gives us a little hope. Hare Krishna. So we can all bow down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's introduced this process of devotional service into human society. See the Prabhupada ki.